නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස So for our friend Hui Chuan, he said that he was not very clear how to bring the different things that I have been teaching you together. That's why I'm going to repeat again for your benefit, the whole system, because now we are having 1-2 weeks, not 2 complete weeks. We will have teaching in the morning, we will have teaching in the evening, and I want to make sure that before I leave you have some good basis of Abhidhamma that you can study further by yourself, and that you know, make sure where you find things. So I understand that some of you may have difficulties to put things together that I am teaching you, because I am not teaching according to the book. As we have explained from the very beginning, I am teaching in accordance to the living tradition. So that you get an idea that what you are learning is not just the scholastic stuff, but it is a meditation stuff to be absorbed by meditation practice, so that you get a very clear idea what is meditation about. Abhidhamma is nothing else than a deeper understanding of the meditation. You should be clear about it. And as we have emphasized from the very beginning, in contrast to the northern tradition, in southern tradition, the Abhidhamma is still a living tradition. It is not only scholastic discipline, it is also a meditative discipline. It does not mean that in northern tradition it is not a meditative discipline, it is also, but you can only learn it, and I have tried my best, in patches, you cannot get the whole system, because especially the vipassana part of it has just simply not been preserved. The main reason for this being that in the Theravada tradition, or in the so-called Hinayana traditions, the heart of the meditation is meditating on the paramattas. You have seen that the whole book starts with the explanation of the paramattas. And paramattas is the real object of meditation. Now, the criticism of the meditation schools related to Abhidhamma for the Mahasi system or the Goenka system, which has become in recent time the system of meditation which is most of people studying Theravada, they learn these systems, is that meditation in these schools is, the object of meditation in these schools is mostly the paññati, the concepts, not the paramattas. And if you have studied the Mahayana Abhidhamma. Especially the Madhyamika school, then you will find out that the whole of the Vipassana part related to Abhidhamma is based on the meditation on the Panyati, on the concepts. It does not touch the Paramattas, which are the subject matter of the Theravada meditation. So you can study later, like the most important works in Madhyamaka related to meditation, like in the Tibetan tradition, the Bodhicharya Avatara, or the Pragya Paramita Shastra attributed to Nagarjuna. You will find out that the Vipassana section is only concerned with the meditation on the concepts, not meditation on the paramattas. The meditation on the paramattas has been preserved in the Yogacara tradition to a great extent, but for some reasons we don't want to go into detail. After Xuanzang and after the, especially after the passing away of the immediate disciples of Xuanzang, like Guiji, Wonhyo, and so on, this China has gone in the towards end of Tang Dynasty into the, it was a great turmoil like in modern times. And this tradition of studying paramattas needs a big amount of information. Most of the, when the, like in Sri Lanka, when the country was in trouble and the incessant wars, this Abhidharma tradition simply disappeared. The same happened to China. So we are very privileged to be able to now to have this Burmese tradition of Abhidhamma, which has completely preserved this meditative side of the Abhidhamma study. So, to come back to our subject, we have started not following the book, we have started, we have started also from the first chapter, but from the last, or the section of the first chapter approaching the last part, we have started from analyzing the Mahagata Chittas. Mahagata Chittas are the sublime conditions, sublime cognitions. Sublime cognitions means the cognitions where the wholesome kusala ekagata the wholesome one-pointedness of mind becomes the prevalent mental factor and mental force in the mind, allowing the mind to develop certain powers of cognition which are necessarily needed in order to analyze, paramatas. Without these powers of mind related to wholesome one-pointedness, there is no question of seeing paramatas. So the training and concentration is a preliminary. To the Abhidhamma living tradition. That is why we have started with the sublime minds. We have pointed out that in the Theravada tradition, and Theravada tradition is nothing else than the tradition of the Mahavihara with its Atakatas and with Visuddhimagga. All this tradition we have pointed out especially emphasizes the importance of samadhi, the importance of mahagata citta as the gate to the samatha and vipassana meditation, which is the main aspect of Abhidhamma. The main concern of Abhidhamma is to explain in detail the samatha and vipassana meditation. And the content of the samatha meditation, is explained as the, in Abhidhamma, as the practice of the eight samapatis. And eight samapatis is nothing else but the mahagata chittas, the sublime cognitions. So we have started not from the beginning. In the beginning of the book, as you, I hope you are now getting familiar with the content of the book, you will find the book starts with the akusala chittas, with the akusala, with the unwholesome cognitions. I have explained why it is so. But we have started from the most developed worldly wholesome cognitions, now in your book the first chapter is concerned with the analysis of the chittas and the second chapter is concerned with the analysis of the chetasikas. Now, what we have done is to combine these two chapters using also some knowledge of the third chapter, which is concerned with the Pakinaka chapter, with the different hetus, the causes of cognition, of the worldly cognitions, the Vedanas in these cognitions, the vatus, the basis of these cognitions, the dvaras, the doors of these cognitions. We have integrated a lot of this material into our explanation of the mahagata chittas. And also, we have integrated into our explanation parts of the fourth and fifth chapter, which explain the citta vittis. We have always emphasized that the citta vittis, the understanding of the path of cognitions, is the backbone of the whole system. Is a backbone of the whole understanding of paticca samuppada, of the interdependent origination, as it is explained in the tradition. So the fourth chapter are the explanation of the path of cognition and the active path of cognitions, and the fifth chapter is the cittaviti vimuta cittas. That means the cognition liberated from the active processes of mind. So we have mentioned some basic understanding concerning the bhavanga, citta, patisandhi citta, chuti citta. These are the citta viti vimuta citta cognitions. These are the cognitions freed from active process of cognition. That is why I have specially emphasized that when this active process of cognition and the Mahagata Chitta, the sublime cognitions, also belong to active process of cognition, this active process of cognition can only take place when the Bhavanga cognition, when the cognition freed from active process of cognition has been interrupted. That is why we have explained we have started explaining the active process of cognition. That explanation you will find in the fourth chapter of your book. And we have pointed out that in the active process of cognition, we differentiate two types of cognitions, the so-called panchadvara cognition, the cognition which happens through the five doors of cognition. Which are the five doors of cognition? You should remember now. The eye, chakudvara cognition, the sotadvara cognition, the ear cognition, ghana dvara cognition, the nose door cognition, jihva dvara cognition, the tongue door cognition, and kaya dvara cognition, the bodily door cognition. Then you should know these five doors and what are the basis of these five doors. We have also explained the, in case of five doors and the five bases, The five doors and five bases are the same. But the six doors and six bases are not the same. We have specially emphasized that. In the case of mental cognition, mano, dvara, citta, the door is bhavanga, but the base is hadaya vatu. Huh? What is bhavanga, what is hadaya vatu? I hope you are now clear. You all know what is bhavanga, what is hadaya vatu, or should I repeat again? You know? So what is bhavanga? Bhava, what means bhava? Bhava means existence. Huh? What means anga? Anga in this case, just like in jhana, anga. Anga means a cause. Usually, anga, the usual meaning of anga is a limb. Huh? But here, it does not mean the limb, it means a cause. Anga means hetu. So the cause of the continuity of our existence and continuity of our existence is nothing, is based on the continuity of our mind. We live as long as we have consciousness. When the consciousness is out, the life in this existence has no continuity. So continuity in existence is continuity in mind. According to Buddhism, that which makes us different from this table or from this wall here is that we have consciousness, we have jivita indriya, we have the life faculty, and we have the usma, we have the warmth related to the life faculty. When the three have left the body, so the sutta says, we become just like this piece of wood. And as we have pointed out, the jivita indriya, the life faculty, is nothing else but the support for vijnana and for usma, for it is the support for bodily heat and for the cognitions. Without bodily heat, without heat and cognitions, no base for life. And this base is provided by the jivita indriya, by the life faculty. So when the life faculty has been cut, the cognition leaves the body. And if they are basis for further cognition, then it is reborn in the new body. That's how we continue from life to life, and this is what we have been doing for innumerable lives without any beginning, But there may be end to it if you understand Abhidhamma, if you understand the causes and conditions of this process, then you can become freed from this process. And the study of Abhidhamma is just for this purpose, no other purpose. So, for this reason, you should try to understand very clearly what is being taught here, and how to understand it, and how to put it together. Not just get patches of information here and there, but be very clear how to use this knowledge. The knowledge is the greatest of all powers, but only if it has a solid base. If not, then it will not serve. So you should relate this process of cognition to the analysis of minds and of the mental factors in the first and the second chapter of your book. Without this, you will not be able to understand what we are talking about. And I have specially emphasized that in the Theravada system, especially the Patana, the whole system of the explanation of interdependent origination is based on the detailed understanding of these mind processes and the mental factors and contacts concerned in these processes. The whole world, the whole picture of the world and of our body with its condition, with its cognitions, is just this understanding in the Theravada system, nothing else. So we have started so far with explanation of the Panchadvara process of cognition, and we have related it to our understanding of the chittas and the chetasikas as it comes in the first and second chapter. So we have explained first the sabbachitta sadharana, the seven mental factors which necessarily appear in each and every moment of cognition. We have pointed out that their order is also very important, so you should learn them in accordance with the order. It is not by accident that this order has been taught in Abhidhamma, in all books. So you should know that first comes Faso, and why Faso comes first. After Faso comes Vedana, and why Vedana comes as first after Faso. Because whatever the Vedana is, that which dominates completely our cognitions. The understanding of cognition, the result of understanding of cognition and the aim of studying these cognitions is nothing else but to master the Vedana. If you become master of your Vedana, you are master of your cognition. And if you are master of your cognition, you are master of the world. So you should understand it very clearly. That is why the first comes faso, then comes vedana, then comes sanya. The vedana and sanya we have specially emphasized. They are the key. They are called the citta sankharas. Everything that we experience, we can only experience through the vedana and sanya, through the citta sankharas. The citta itself does not move. The citta itself is unmanifested. The citta itself so it is taught in the suttas is being unmanifested, it is like space. It is ananta, it is endless. That which gives it manifestation, which give its boundaries, and by boundaries we learn about things, the most important factors in understanding our citta, in our cognition, is then vedana and sanya. That is why they are called the citta sankharas, that which keeps the citta going. Sankhara means the formative force. The citta is kept going by vedana and sanya. Vedana means how the object is received, and sanya is how the sign of the object is being grasped. This gives content, the main content, to the mind. That is why it is called citta sankhara. When the mind has a content, then it will start moving. It is moving. And what is moving the mind is the chetana. Then the chetana comes as the next factor. And as we have analyzed already, the manifestation of chetana is not only moving the mind towards the object, it is also coordinating the other will formations. Sankharas means nothing but will formation. So, in the Abhidhamma, when we speak of sankhara, we have two ways of understanding sankhara. Either we understand sankhara as only as chetana, or we understand sankhara as all the other mental factors except vedana and sanya together with chetana. These are the two ways of counting sankhara in Abhidhamma. That is why the chetana then comes after vedana, sanya comes chetana, and after chetana, we have the most important sankhara for our purpose, most important will formation for our purpose, that is a samadhi. Samadhi, we have seen the function of samadhi is sahajatanam sampindana, the where there is a will, act of will, there is putting together of the other mental factors, and that is precisely the function of samadhi. So samadhi must be present in each and every moment of cognition, otherwise all the mental factors will not keep together. Then when mental factors are kept together, I have explained, then you need the force which makes the mental factors pavatana, which makes them run, and that is the jivita indriya. So the jivita indriya comes after samadhi. The function, the manifestation of the jivita indriya is tesam pavatana, the making these mental factors appearing together with will, as will formations, to make them run, make them active. And because they become active, they need a direction. So the last comes manasikara. It is the manasikara is, we have explained, is a rudder of the mind. It gives direction to the cognition. Without cognition having direction, it will not occur. So the definition of manasikara is sarana, the going of the united mind towards the object. And because of this function of manasikara, we have said that this understanding of manasikara is of crucial importance for understanding the active mental processes. The active mental processes are studied on the base of manasikara. That means on the base of direction of the mind. We have emphasized the manasikara, the literal meaning of manasikara is manasi means a locative, huh? Locative case of manas, in the mind. Huh? Kara means maker. The maker in the mind is the manasikara, is the attention. So it is the rudder of the mind, the direction of the mind. And how we handle the direction of our mind decides how we cognize the object. So the real active process of cognition comes after the mind in which the manasikara has a crucial role. So this is very important to understand. Why? We have already explained, according to the understanding of manasikara, when the manasikara is based in reality, it is a wholesome cognition. This is the key to understanding of the Abhidhamma. If the manasikara is not based in reality, then unwholesome cognition will take place. It is very important to understand, you should always contemplate this factor. By contemplating this factor, you have the key for understanding of the whole Theravada Abhidhamma system. And so, what means the understanding of the manasikara? So, if you understand the object as nama and rupa, then it is wholesome cognition as far as Abhidhamma is concerned. If you don't understand the object as nama and rupa, then it is not a wholesome cognition. So first condition for kusala citta is then nama rupa. Only when you understand nama rupa, then you can understand anicca. Without understanding nama rupa, no question of real understanding of anicca. Only when you understand anicca, then you can understand dukkha. And only when you understand dukkha, you can understand anatta and asubha. Asubha is nothing else. What means asubha? You have already learned. Asubha means impurity. Impurity, asubha, is nothing else but the aspect of dukkha. So actually we speak of asubha, but it is included in the understanding of dukkha. Because no question of understanding asubha without understanding dukkha. So then the conditions for the kusala citta in the active process of cognition in javana, in the 7 or 6 moments of running through the active running through the object which decides, the nature of cognition. If it is a wholesome cognition, then you have this nama rupa, you have anicca, dukkha, anatta. Without this understanding, no question of yoniso manasikara, which is the key to wholesome cognition. And the best translation of the wholesome, of the yoniso manasikara, is the making in mind rooted in reality. The nama, rupa, anicca, dukkha, anatta is the reality. There is no other reality than that. So the wholesome cognition is the cognition rooted in reality. And what is an unwholesome making in the mind? Unwholesome, ayoniso manasikara. That is not understanding nama rupa, not understanding anicca, that is nicca, not understanding dukkha, that is sukha, not understanding anatta, that is atta, and not understanding asubha, that is subha. Now we have pointed out that manasikara is, according to Abhidhamma, the cetasika, the factor of the mind or power of the mind. Which necessarily exists in each and every moment of cognition. This is common to all the Abhidhamma system. Yogacharas also say like that, the Vaibhashikas also say like that. Without manasikara, no question of active process of cognition. Now we have pointed out that what is the peculiarity of the Theravada system, which analyzes very much in detail the processes of cognition. There is no other Abhidhamma system which analyzes in such a detail the processes of cognition. And we have pointed especially out and emphasized that the whole understanding of the Paticca Samuppada, and the Paticca Samuppada is nothing else but Dhamma. So if you want to understand the Dhamma as explained in the Theravada, you necessarily have to study these processes of cognition. Because, like in the most important book of Abhidhamma, in the Patthana, the deepest explanation of Abhidhamma, The whole understanding of Paticca Samuppada is based on this understanding of the Cittavittis. It is very, very sublime and very, very demanding. So if you want to go into the deeper study of this, you have to get this basic understanding. It is very important. So we have explained that even so, the factor of manasikara exists necessarily in each and every moment of cognition. In Theravada system, we speak of three manasikaras. First is the common one in each and every moment of cognition. Sadharana manasikara. Then you have Panchadvara Manasikara. And we have pointed out in the Panchadvara Avajana Chitta. We have 10 mental factors beside the Chitta itself. Which are the 10 we have explained? I hope you remember them. 7 citta sadharanas, then vitaka, vichara, and adimokha. So this is one type of manasikara. Strictly speaking, this cognition, panchadvara avajana, is called manasikara. But strictly speaking, manasikara is only one of the 10 mental factors in that mind. But in order to understand the whole process of cognition, this cognition, Panchadvara Avajana, is called the Manasikara. Then we have Manodvara Avajana. And the Manodvara Avajana is the Panchadvara Avajana happens automatically. Both are the Kiriyachitas, the automatic minds. And Manodvara Avajana happens automatically, as we have said, when the Bhavanga cognition is interrupted by impact, by impingement of color, sound, odor, taste, or tangible. One of these 5. Then Manodvara Avajana, in contrast to the Panchadvara Avajana, happens when the flow of Bhavanga is interrupted by the mental object. By Dhamma Ayatana. Coming from the mind itself. Now this Manodvara Avajana, the turning towards the object of mind, as we have emphasized, has 2 different names. It is called Manodvara Avajana in the Manodvara Viti, in the process of cognition, in the mental process of cognition. And it is called Votapana, decision. In the Panchadvara Viti, in the process of cognition by five doors. So when you hear Manodvara Avajana, you should make very clear that there are two of them. And you should decide very clearly which of the two is concerned. And this Manodvara Avajana and also Votapana, both, they are of crucial importance. Why? Because if Yoniso Manasikara, if attention rooted in reality appears in them, then the following active process of cognition, the following running through the object, will be wholesome. If it is Ayoniso Manasikara, then the following running through the object, following Javana, following seven or six minds running through the object, actually actively experiencing the object, will be then unwholesome. Now, this Manodvara Avajana moment of cognition has, in contrast to Panchadvara Avajana, has 11 mental factors, not 10, 11 factors. In addition to applied thought, sustained thought, and determination, vitaka, vichara, adimokha, you have to add virya. Virya means usahana, the effort of the mind. Because this moment of cognition decides the nature of the whole cognition process, therefore it needs energy to pass the decision through. What is the nature, what is the taste or function of the virya? Is upatambana, is supporting the whole cognition. Without this support, like a pillar, this cognition will have no power. And this cognition, this moment of cognition, has to decide. Is it rupa or nama? Is it anicca? Is it dukkha? Is it anatta? Or is it not nama rupa, not anicca? For that purpose, it needs additional push. So you have to add usahana into that. You can actually see it when you have learned this Abhidhamma meditation, you will be able to analyze it one by one. But now you just have to take me by word. And not only me, I hope you will, in your studies, you will go through the book and you will find out yourself. Then you have 11 mental factors in the Manodvara Vajana or in the Votapana Citta.
What is
Usahana?
Huh?
Usahana means effort. Or making effort, literally. So now we come back again to, for the last time. Now I hope you will be sure already how to understand it. We again go through the whole process of cognition through the five doors, taking the, we have said you have two examples, the example of the spider and the example of the mango eater. We take the example of the mango eater. So what happens? When there is cognition by the door of I, let's take the door of I. Now, everything starts, we have said, with the man sleeping under the mango tree. In deep sleep with a cloth, with his face covered by the cloth. This is a picture for Bhavanga. When there is no object of cognition, the mind stays in Bhavanga. It does not mean that it does not have the object. As we have said, it is not possible in the world that the mind exists without the object. Because the mind, alambanam chinteti iti chitam, the mind is that which cognizes the object. Or, as we have explained, the mind is nothing else but the cognition itself. And cognition cannot happen without the object. So the Bhavanga surely has the object, but this object is not known to a normal person. If you become yogis, you can know it for definitely. As we have already mentioned, what is the object of Bhavanga? It is the last, the Javana object of the last Javana, last active process of cognition in the previous life. And yogi can see it very clearly. But a normal person does not know. So, the Bhavanga is that cognition which has that object. And that object remained the same from Patisandhi till Chuti, from the first Bhavanga to the last Bhavanga. We have explained that already. Now, this person sleeping under the mango tree, suddenly what happens? Mango falls down from the tree, ripened mango falls down from the tree. So what happens? There is a past Bhavanga, Atita Bhavanga. Then Bhavanga Chalana, the vibration of the Bhavanga. Then Bhavanga Upacheda, the cutting off the Bhavanga. Boom! He wakes up. Then he wakes up. What does he do? He takes off the clothes. Away from his face in order to see what's happening. So this taking the clothes away from his face is just like the panchadvara avajana. Avajana means turning towards. Panchadvara means five door. So turning towards the one of the five doors of cognition. Here, any cognition you can take, it really doesn't matter. So when he has take off the clothes from his eyes, he can see. So what comes is chakhu vijnana. Or any other of the five doors. And the chakhu vijnana, we have explained how many mental factors in chakhu vijnana. The most chakhu vijnana is nothing but just reflecting the object in the sensitivity of the eye, chakhu pasada. It is the most rudimentary moment of cognition. So it does not need any other cetasika except the sabbacitta sadharana. No pakinaka appears in that mind. Because it is just seeing. Just reflecting the object in the sensitivity of the eye. Then what happens next? He stretches his hand. It is a receiving sampaticana citta, receiving moment of cognition. And we have already explained the mental factors you need for this receiving. This receiving and the panchadvara avajana, they are called the mano dhatu. Because they are also rudimentary cognition, not a developed cognition. Still closely linked to Bhavanga. So Panchadvara Avajana is a Kriya Chitta, automatic mind. Whether you like it or not like it, it just happens automatically. Nothing can be done about that. The reflecting in the sensitivity of the eye, it is the resultant vipaka citta. Then the next vipaka citta, manodhatu vipaka citta, sampatichana, stretching the hand, receiving the object. So the mind stretches its hand, it needs, beside the sabbacitta sadharana, it also needs applied thought, sustained thought, adimokha. Otherwise, how can it stretch its hands? The applied thought we have already explained, vitaka is nothing else. But leading the mind to the object. Vichara is nothing else but sustaining the mind at the object. And adimokkha is nothing else but determining the object. This must be there in order that the hand of the mind can be receive the object, stretch it towards the object. If applied thought, sustained thought is not there, how will it stretch? Then, when the man has stretched his hand, he will then squeeze the object in his hand, investigate it. For that, we have already explained, it also needed, what is needed is sabbacitta sadharana, also vitaka, vichara, adimokkha. And if the object is very, very pleasant, ati itha, then what will happen? The piti will happen there. Piti and somanasa. So you will have to add another mental factor, piti. Then when the man has squeezed the mango, then he smells it. This is deciding. It's really a mango, ripe mango, good to eat. This smelling the mango is like deciding. Votapana citta. This is good to eat. In order to decide, what do we need? The mind needs some energy, huh? That's why you have to add, when the votapana is there, you have to add virya to the vitaka, vichara, and adimokkha. Virya has to be there. Then it can decide smoothly. Then when it has decided, smelled the mango, start eating. This is the longest part of the cognition. This is running through the object, eating the object, actually fully experiencing the object. So, because it is the longest part of cognition, it has seven cognitive moments, seven khanas. And if In Votapana, the manasikara is yoniso manasikara, then it will be wholesome. If it is ayoniso manasikara, then it will be unwholesome. Huh? We have explained already. When this running through the object comes to the end, if the object is very clear, atimahanta, four kinds of object we will explain. If the object is very clear, then at the end of the active cognition comes again the resultant mano-vijnana mind, tat aramana, the affirmation, that object. After he has eaten the mango, he swallows the saliva, that's it. Now I have eaten the mango. And the mind again falls into bhavanga. This is the case of cognition when the object is atimahanta, very great. So if you count from the past bhavanga to the last tat aramana citta, you will get 17 moments of cognition. So this is a case when the object is very great. Now you have a case when the object is not very great, but it is a great object. Second type of cognition through the five doors. If the object is not very great, but just great, what happens? The tat aramana, the two moments of cognition, the tat aramana citta, does not appear. Then, because in order to that the mind can see the present object, the 17 moments of cognition has to be maintained, then what you will have to do, instead of one atita bhavanga, instead of one past bhavanga, in order to interrupt the bhavanga, you will have to take three atita bhavangas. Do you understand what I am saying or not? No? Not clear?
Yeah, what do you mean it's not a very great object, but it's a great object?
Mm. Very great, if the very great object, then at the end of cognition happen the two moments of tat aramana cognition. That is a very great object. Only then it will fall into bhavanga again. If it is a great object, it means it's the javana will arise, seven moments of javana will arise, but the tat aramana will not arise. Yes?
Can you please give examples from great and very great, the difference? I have no feeling for
it. So it means if you fully...
If it is very great, then after eating the mango, still the saliva remains in the mouth, then he will swallow. That is the tat aramana. If it is just great, he will eat, but the object is clear, but not clear enough that he does not need to swallow again the saliva to reassure himself. That's it. But he will just run through the object, that's all. No swallowing of the saliva after the eating of the mango.
If it's water would be normal and mango is not.
Pardon?
If you drink water, it's not the same as eating the mango. Is this different or I'm misunderstanding?
The very great object is the object when it is cognized, then the before the mind, after the active process of cognition, before it falls again into the bhavanga, there appears this tat-aramana citta, the affirmation of the object. If it is just great, not very great, then this affirmation of the object does not appear. Then the mind falls into bhavanga immediately after the running through the object, after the active process of cognition. Clear now?
So this
tat-aramana. No, it is a resultant mind. It is not active mind. But this resultant mind will appear only at the end of very, very clear cognition, not after the normal cognition. This is not a theory. In meditation, you will learn how to see these things. Now you just have to believe it is like that. Then what will happen if the object is great but not very great? Then you will have to add the process of cognizing the present object takes place 17 moments. So this 2 moments which you have deduced from the tat-aramana, you will have to add to the past bhavanga. If the object is very, very great, if you throw a big, big stone on the water, then it will immediately sink down. If you throw a little smaller stone, then it will take more time to sink into the bottom. Therefore, you will have to add 2 moments of cognition to the past bhavanga. So that then you will get 17 moments of cognition, which is a standard. The key is panchadvara avajana, the turning towards the object of cognition. That is called Majjhima Ayuka. Now, if the object, the less clear the object, the more past bhavanga you will have to add. This is clear rule. Because of the process of cognition has to take 17 moments, otherwise you cannot cognize present object. We have explained that already, the 17 moments of the mind, each kana has arising, staying and passing away. Upada, titi, bhanga. So the upada of the rupa and the upada of the citta are simultaneous. The nirodha of the citta and the nirodha of the rupa are simultaneous. But the titi of the rupa is for 49 sections, 17 multiplied by 3, you have 51. So while the titi of the citta is only one section, the titi of the rupa is for 49 sections. You should be clear about that. That is the key to understanding of the process of cognition. So So the big object is when you don't have tat aramana, two moments of cognition of tat aramana, then you will have to add them to the atita bhavanga, to the past bhavanga. Now, the parita aramana, the small object is when the mind does not run through javana, so there is no active process of cognition. The karmic force, active karmic force appears only in the javana moments of cognition. Therefore, when these javanas are not there, there is no question of accumulating any karma. So, when the object is very small, small stone fall into the water, so only one or two waves appear, then nothing more. Similarly, when this object is small, very small, then one, two, or three votapana will appear. Then the mind will again fall into bhavanga. And there is no question of, if with a small object, no question of accumulating any karma. Only with big object you are accumulating karma. With a small object you don't accumulate any karma. Then there is ati parita cognition, very small, the minute object. In the minute object, the mind does not even run into votapana. If it does not run into votapana, what happens is only one, two, or three moments of panchadvara avajana, and the mind sinks back to bhavanga. This is called mogha chitta viti. Mogha means no use, because the object is not clear enough to be distinguished. The mind has no power to decide about it, therefore it is completely useless. Like now, here, you are hearing what I am saying at the same moment you hear some sounds outside, but they cannot influence your cognition because you don't pay any attention to them. But still you know they are happening, right? But this hearing of these sounds cannot influence in any way your accumulation of karma, because you just don't decide about them. They are pleasant or unpleasant. I want them, I don't want them. Anyway, tomorrow we will continue. Today we have already surpassed our time. So, as today usual, today evening will be class, so I will now explain the manodvara vajana, the process of mental cognitions, and the sublime minds belong to the process of mental cognition. They are the special kind of mental cognition. What kind of special mental cognition? We will again explain today evening, and for just now that will do.
Akasatta chabumattha devanaga mahidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu lokasasanang. Akasatta chabumattha devanaga mahidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu esanam. Akasatta chabumattha devanaga mahidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu tumam para.
So try slowly to get the orientation from the book also, what we are studying and how to relate it to what I am saying.